For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
K100 with Tony the Disco is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker. Run Wild was one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang,
the
bang, the bang, bang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the bang, the bang, bang.
We be
thumping. Bang, the bang, the bang, bang.
Just act like you know, and homie, stop fucking.
Welcome to stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the essays in the 6-4 hopping. To my boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping, rolling in my low top chucks, making sure you suckers feel me every time we bust. Shackled up like a nut, going 5150. G'd up in the feed up, greased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot, like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clucker in the shop, straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez. Calma de momento, paisa, no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Kelly to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy K, yo man, that boy don't play. It's in my N-I-A-K, putting it down all day. Representing Southern Cali, eating my way, don't get sprayed.
We be dropping.
Bang, the bang, the bang, bang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the bang, the bang, bang.
We be dropping.
Bang, the bang, the bang.
So anyways, I don't know if you've ever gone on the Wrestling Observer website. Mm-hmm. You ever go on there?
If Meltzer, like I'll check Meltzer's timeline every once in a while.
Right.
And if there's a story that's linked that I want to read about, I'll go on it.
All right. Well, I'll usually go to his website maybe twice a week just to catch up on shit that, right. You know, because he's always has really stuff that I don't even know where, you know what I'm saying? So
did he give you a free password?
I get a free Observer every week. Yeah.
You mean they send you one in the mail still?
You read the paper one, right? You don't read it online.
Yeah, I read it online, but they still send me a paper one.
Okay.
Do they really?
Yeah.
That's you. You're old school. You still like the paper.
Yeah, not that much anymore. It's too much. Too much, bro. It's just, you know, he writes a lot.
Right.
Let me see. So on his website, he does this where he'll put like a back issue, like a back Observer, mm-hmm. you know, like this week's.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, like I'll see those he posts, but this week in right. like 19.
I love those. I love those because it's a time capsule. I mean, you know, he basically captures everything that happened, and there's stuff that I forgot about or stuff that I didn't even know about. And I'm like, really? That happened? Or I didn't remember that, but it's there, you know? So I was looking at one that he had from, I'm going to tell you the date, June 9th, 2003. Okay. And he's talking about TNA. Which you were booking at that time or helping book, right? Or no?
That was the Asylum shows.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So want me to read you a couple of things here and see what you remember and give me some little like thoughts on them?
Yes.
All right. So it says, see if you remember this. It says, I don't remember this at all. You probably do. It says, the backstage turmoil at the 528 show was huge. It's so weird because there are times I think because it's Vince Russo and because he and Jeff Jarrett have been longtime friends, they're working everybody, except that it's for the most part only the wrestlers that talk about it. The show was a Russo-type show, was more of a Russo-type show with tons of stuff and little good wrestling. The poll was...
That's offensive, by the way. That's offensive.
All right. The poll
You saw the crew we had, right?
Yeah. AJ Daniels.
That's ridiculous to sit there and say.
Well, it doesn't matter. You could have a bad. Well, here's a poll. Right. This is the fans, not him. It says the poll was 7 thumbs up, 31 down, and 8 in the middle. So are the fans wrong too? Maybe there was a bad show.
These are observer fans.
Right.
So, you know. So, yeah. I don't know about wrestling. Well, you're asking
I'm going to ask you some stuff.
Here's my question. You asked me about a date, and all you've told me so far is. All right,
this is page one of the story. Am I supposed to put the ending on the very first page? The story.
I will, but I want to predict something. Okay. Yeah. For backstage turmoil, I would suggest it probably has a lot to do with Jeff and Raven.
That's exactly. and that was true because I read there was
100%. That was my prediction.
Here's the thing, bro. Since I wasn't, and you know me, dude, you know, I wasn't a backstage politic guy. I was never in the office going, Glenn, what are you guys going to do with me next? Or why are you doing this? Or why are you, you know what I'm saying?
No, you were always smoking pot with Truth and BG.
Yeah.
Let me just interject something real quick. What date did you say the Observer was? June
9th, 2003.
What's interesting is the previous TNA show before that was main evented by Jeff Jarrett versus Glenn Gilberti. So I'm just saying.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think in this show, it's Glenn and Raven and Jarrett or something like that. Yeah. But I'll get to it because I don't remember none of this. So I just want to see what you remember. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm reading this and I'm like, wow, how high was I? I don't remember none of this shit. So anyways, it says the best match. See if you remember any of this. Okay. Mm-hmm. It says the best match was interesting because it was a squash match. Because it was a squash match with D'Lo Brown and AJ Styles over Jason Cross and CM Punk, which only went 4:29. Mm-hmm. And I'd agree with it because they did a fast-paced match that the crowd got into the last minute. Ironically, the original plan was for a local jobber team. I don't even remember these guys. See if you do, called the Kingpins?
Maybe. Yeah, they were two fat guys.
Okay. Who do a bowler tag team gimmick.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. To be squashed here. But either Jarrett or Bob Ryder, I don't know what Ryder had to do with this, but it says this is, but either Jarrett and or Bob Ryder change a job or team, which saved things.
He booked the like enhancement guys, I think, Ryder.
Oh, he did?
The guys
here,
from, like,
here was the thing. You got to understand, when Punk came to TNA, Jeff and Vince didn't really know much about him at all. And I knew him from the indies. I thought he was a pretty good indie worker, but he was like the main eventer of like indie shows in Pittsburgh.
Ring of Honor.
You know, like and stuff. Right. So, and okay. But Raven was the one that was really politicking for Punk, like when he came in. And I just don't really remember a lot about that because, you know, they put Punk in a gimmick and he was at the church. He ended up doing some stuff, but it wasn't like I remember a lot about that.
Right,
he was in.
So that thing that them doing a job match here is nobody. If you look, there was a lot of guys that did. You know, me and Mike Sanders beat Daivari and Mr. Kennedy on one of those shows. I didn't even know about that. But these were brothers, 2003.
Me neither. Yeah. Like Luke Koch was like, I was there, and I was I don't even remember him. You know,
he was
like
Altar Boy Luke.
Altar Boy Luke.
Yeah, Altar Boy Luke. Remember the skinny little kid?
Yeah, but you know, he wasn't. You know,
right,
you don't.
Right, exactly. These were the indie guys. That like, and this is the thing. Burt Prentice used to book a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, because they were all kind of around the Tennessee, you know, because there was a lot of indies in Tennessee and stuff around there. So they would get that indie Tennessee scene and get those guys in there because they could drive, you know.
And plus, the other thing is that I remember we had Heat for a long time, and then Jackie fixed it, and he was mad because he says that one time he offered me a ride, and I was said no or
big
was rude. Who knows? I was probably.
I could see that.
If you're giving me if you're giving me a free ride to the show, I'm taking it. So something that must have been, you know, who knows what happened. So, because usually you had to go like in this fucking van that they brought to the hotel. But anyways,
right.
So, okay. Then it says, worst match was Kid Cash versus Trinity. And really that was possibly the worst match of the year, and I don't know how many horrible women's matches they are going to have before they get a clue. And I would agree with that because the women were not good.
No, let me tell you something. The women there were good, and let me tell you why
They were good.
No, because they weren't very. Let me tell you something. They maybe weren't good like for a Dave Meltzer, but if you watch
they
a lot
were
of
good
the
for
shit,
me, bro.
No, but here's the thing: we didn't do a lot of like long matches with the girls. We would have them do like catfights and brawl.
Right.
And like the girls, they were very, they weren't, they were kind of green, but they were very snug.
Kind of, they were all.
But here's my point. They were kind of snug.
And I remember Trinity, and I remember Trinity especially because this was the deal with her, and I like her. She used to do a moonsault. So everybody used to go, oh my gosh, she's a great wrestler. No, she can hit a moonsault, and that's what about it. And now you guys think that she can wrestle. You know what I'm saying? And it was the same problem with Sexy Star and Lucha Underground. They thought she was this tremendous wrestler. And I like, yeah, anybody looks good if Pentagon's basing you. I mean, give me a fucking break. You know what I'm saying?
Here was the thing, though. This is what Meltzer fails to realize is back then. Bro, we would use the girls in like cat fight spots.
Right.
And they would get a pop.
It would.
Like, it wasn't good. They would get a pop. And this is that, you know what I'm saying? And let me tell you that. I remember the Trinity Kid Cash match. That was a very disturbing match to watch. If you go back and find it. Bro, Cash and her were dating. And Cash was lighting her up, like, on chops and stuff.
Yeah, I do remember
and
that.
And it was just, like, very uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
Like a guy. And it was like, and maybe that's why I looked at it. Says that was might have been one of the worst matches. Because this is before girls workers were getting, you know, there was a handful of them.
Yeah,
you know,
and he had that old school mentality, you know, if you're going to be in the business. Yeah,
exactly. So I could see him not liking that, but I recall that it was – I remember that. Okay. Like, if you could find that on YouTube, if it's there somewhere, I would suggest – you tell me what you think, you know?
They have that the Impact app.
Okay. Then it said – that made four straight bad shows, and as Raven has continually emphasized, the only way to make this weekly pay-per-view concept work is to have good shows almost every week. The live crowd was way down, estimated at 850, and the lines before the show were counted as roughly one-third of that paid. There's a lot of finger-pointing at the attendance drop. Okay? Now here we go to Raven and Jarrett. A lot of talk regarding, you were right, regarding Raven and Jarrett. The big story after the show almost every week is Raven and Russo on one side and Jarrett on the other, trying to convince Dixie Carter, the daughter of the owner, that their ideas are better and trying to rally as many people behind their respective sides and talking with her. How much of this is true?
Partially true. Raven was the one doing that.
Okay.
Vince was always all strictly business. Raven was very egocentric and trying to get he was trying to take over the company. Remember that?
Right. Yep.
He wanted to be in charge. Like Vince was never that. Vince was the writer of the show. That's it. And he would have to filter. You know, Jeff was still the head of creative, and Vince is the writer. But that's all that you should remember those shows. Vince was just off producing vignettes all day, you know, and stuff and thing, and like writing the show. But Vince would not politic. Vince would kind of like the thing was Dixie always leaned on Vince, but she would be in the middle of Jeff. It was Jeff and Raven butting heads. And like, you know, all our butting heads with us and Jeff were always just in creative. That was never like at the shows.
Yeah, the Raven Jeff was more personal.
More personal. That was at the
why,
show.
Why do you think it was personal? What did they have heat from somewhere before, or he didn't like the way Raven came in and tried to take over? Or what?
Just typical top guy stuff. Both guys wanted to be the head guy in charge.
All right,
Jeff.
So, what, Jeff?
I remember when they had the big title match. Jeff even won the match, and I mean, you can see he remained in power for years, and Raven, you know, kind of faded away. So Jeff won that whole power struggle.
Right. Then it says, I don't even remember this. And then it says,
well, plus two, and that's when I was going to push. I remember that the sports entertainment streaming stuff was hot there for a bit. And then we did a couple things that just weren't like maybe the show before wasn't like the build up to me and Jeff that it wasn't like something happened. I forgot what it was, but I remember it was like, oh, fuck, it's going
to
be flat.
Well, your name is in here, so it might remind you, you when I get to it. That's why I wanted to get your point of view. Yeah. Then it says, tell me how much of this is true. It says, Russo's side turns in a show on Thursday and complains that Jarrett doesn't come back with the changes until Tuesday, late at night, and Russo's too tired to argue with him.
You can ask Vince about that.
Good strategy.
I don't. Well, after the show, like we would do when between us at the, you know, getting together and writing the shows, I really wouldn't get back till like we were driving up to Nashville the next Wednesday. You know, I didn't anything in between with Jeff and Vid, you know, I was completely out of that process.
All right. I don't even remember this because my name is in it. So it says, a major topic of discussion was that during the show, Conan and Ron Killings attacked Ron and Don Harris in the back of the building with a loaded sock and a baseball bat. The Harris twins were back twice on the show, showing no signs of a beating and never vying revenge, nor was the beating ever acknowledged. Don West actually brought this up before the show at a production meeting, and Dredd said that the twins wouldn't be seen until 30 minutes after the beating. There is a feeling that because West came in less than a year ago with no product knowledge, that even though he's been a fast study, Jeff and more so Jerry don't take seriously his questions about the show. You remember any of this?
Not that specifically. Okay. You brought Vincent. I just remember those shows were very busy for 2 hours. Like there's a lot of angle.
There was a lot going on. Yeah.
A lot going on, right?
Yeah. The biggest controversy, here we go. The biggest controversy involved Raven and Jarrett. Raven, see if you remember this. Raven suffered a head injury the night before working an indie match with D'Lo Brown in Odd Castle, Ontario.
I remember this, yes.
Okay. The injury must have been legit because several wrestlers noted the swelling he had on the left side of his head. He was complaining about it and said he had a minor concussion. Huh? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. He said he had a minor concussion and asked for his match to be delayed a week. Jarrett told him he had to suck it up. And since Jarrett had been around for so long, he probably at least considered the idea that Raven was trying to avoid doing the planned job for Glenn Gilberti. Even though the finish was the return of Vince Russo as a character, hitting Raven with a bat. Gilberti really isn't over as a headliner, and Raven is the hottest guy in the company. But Jarrett was defending against Gilberti on 6-4, so Gilberti needed the boost. Right. But Raven... Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. Let me tell you this, too. I remember this. I really didn't want to be in like the title picture.
Right.
My gimmick going up then was like kind of like the shit disturber picture. Right. And I think Jeff kind of like maybe wanted me, but I was getting, that's a lie. We were getting,
you were getting a good reaction.
We were getting sports entertainment. We were putting good heat on us. Right.
Yeah.
But I just remember there was a thing that like, you know, it was obvious that Raven and Jeff should have been the angle, you know what I'm saying? And I think Jeff was kind of like fighting against that because he knew Raven behind the scenes was trying to politic to be in charge of the company, trying to, you know what I'm saying? So Jeff kind of went with me, but here was the other thing too that nobody really knew about.
And one great thing about Raven that you got to give him credit for, Raven had no trepidation bearing Jarrett in public or in person or in private.
There was a lot of heat between those two.
Right.
It was funny too because there was a lot of heat between those two. We all saw it, but everybody else was having a good time at those shows.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like they were fun shows, right? So, but I will say this. Do you know who was actually politicking at one point for me to be the world champion?
No.
Jerry Jarrett. And I don't know. When I heard that, I was like, really? Because I knew that he really wasn't a fan, but he liked what I was doing on the thing. Like I said, I went from the leader of Sports Entertainment Extreme, and like within like a 6-week period, I was fighting Jeff for the belt. I you know, I wouldn't have – I actually think I was –
But you
kinda,
were over felt, at that time. You
I was
were
over, but I still felt, you know
– But they didn't push as a top guy.
Well, they were pushing me like in the top guy angles because we were everything.
Well, now
a lot of
this
stuff,
one,
yeah.
And this one, yeah, here.
Well, there was a lot of stuff going on. I fucked AJ.
Yeah.
Then I had a little thing with AJ for like 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks actually, and that kind of built me up to fight Jeff. you know, but that's all I did. My angle with AJ was actually better than the one with me and Jeff. But the whole thing was, the Sports Entertainment Extreme, our thing was, we were telling the story that Jeff was in charge of the company. And the only reason that he's got the belt is because he owns the company.
Right.
And we were telling that because it was all a lot of behind, you know, we were talking about all this.
Right.
And I just remember the rate, you know, Raven, like I said, because when Raven and Jeff ended up wrestling each other, they drew a really good house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was obvious those two were on a collision course. And here's another thing too that happened during all this. When I am going into the match with Jeff, my back had started hurting like a week before. Like, I'd always have recurring back problems, but it was like, fuck, you know, that I went in with Jeff and my back was not 100%. I think maybe a week or two after that match is when I blew my back out and got hurt and was out for a couple months. Like, where I actually had the back spasms in the right after the I think it was me and Shane against Jeff and Raven, maybe even like that they had gotten, I don't know what, but whatever happened, I actually got my back went out. I blew my back out.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So I know everyone remembers that one special card as a kid that got them into collecting. For me, it was a Dale Murphy rookie card. But collecting has come a long way since then. Now there's a new way to buy, sell, trade, and rip packs. It's called Arena Club. Arena Club has taken repacks to another level, introducing slab packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, complete deal of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. So during the pandemic, my roommate found out that he had like a whole ton of like old trading cards. Like he had an 8 Shaq rookie cards, just an incredible collection of cards. And I wish I would have known about Arena Club back then. Because Arena Club is the marketplace for card collecting, whether you're buying, trading, selling, and displaying. It's the all-in-one trading card platform that you have to check out. There's no more shipping delay through cards lost in transit. Arena Club uses blockchain technology to deliver your card immediately, so buy with confidence knowing every card on Arena Club is guaranteed authentic. The Arena Club grading process combines AI and human grading. It's accurate, fast, and transparent with a full grade rationale provided and explanation for how your card was scored. So talk about hit rates and grading with card collecting.
So the grading, as Disco said, there's been various ways to do it, but Arena Club has that new way that they do it using AI and then experts and all that. I'm looking at the site right now. Like they have a Michael Jordan from 1990. It's rated 10. You know, you have this Anthony Edwards plus 9.5, an Ohtani card, which I actually got, is rated a 10. And also hit rates. Hit rates are what tells you basically how likely it is that you're going to get a rare card in your pack. So they're going to tell you ahead of time what the hit rate is for these slab packs that you're buying. And they're also going to give you an idea of what cards you do expect or get when you buy the slab pack. I actually got an email earlier that on this coming Friday, Arena Club has this new slab pack, and they're guaranteeing that there's going to be very valuable Kobe Bryant cards. The slate's very open and transparent. If you're a card collector, it's a way better deal. It's a way better way to go about it than just blindly opening packs of cards. You don't know what you're going to get. These guys are up front. They're going to say, hey, you're going to get this much value in this pack. I like it a lot, and I haven't collected cards in years, but when I got my first slab pack, it kind of sucked me back in.
Yeah, so you can make offers, send trades, and interact. You can create your own personal showroom and start building your collection today. So right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/K100. That's arenaclub.com/K100 for 10% off your first purchase.
Yo, if you're a longtime card collector, you're looking to get into the hobby, check out Arena Club. Get your 10% off at arenaclub.com/K100. Boom!
There's another funny thing. Because it was me, Raven, Russo, Sanders, and Perry would drive up in the car to the show, right? And those were actually some pretty good creative meetings there, because there's a lot of ideas. You know, Perry was very smart to the business too, and Sanders did some stuff. So they actually had a lot of good ideas. Of course, Raven was always, you know, trying to book his stuff and everything. But I was kind of like more, even though when they were pushing me, I was still more for the other angles, right? But the funny thing is, like, remember how Raven used to complain? Maybe you were here in the locker room when this happened. Remember when Raven complained all the time? He was just always complaining, right? Like the time we complained about, and he had a shoot broke because D'Lo would hit him in the side of the head with a kendo stick, and he for a shoot, like, he was fucked up. But right. This
it
is
even, it even
because,
says here that
yes, that was yeah. a shoot. No. Okay. No. But I will say this. Do you remember the match that I blew my back out on? Okay. Raven, like, actually had jumped over the top rope or something, and I tried to catch him, but my back was saying, and he landed bad and hurt his ankle, his heel. And I, like, actually, after the match, I was actually laying on the mats outside the ring. I couldn't move, and they had to carry me to the back. When they carried me to the back, it took me to the back locker room in the corner, you know, the one, like, if you're walking out of, not that the sex locker room that was in the far corner, but we went back to the main locker room.
Yeah, you
guys
were always in, like,
we had a little area back there.
Yeah.
So, right. So do you remember this? When we went back there, Raven was grabbing his ankle going, oh, he was like going, oh my God, my ankle. Oh, you fucked up. Like, he was just complaining, like, as loud as can be. And here I was, literally couldn't move.
Right.
And I finally, like, yelled, I go, Raven, will you shut the fuck up, because I'm fucking hurt. You know, I couldn't even move. And, like, when I looked up to look in the mirror, I was all twisted like this because I had back spasms. Mm. And everybody's looking at me going, oh, shit, you're fucked up. Then Raven actually shut up from complaining all the time, because I remember he would just always constantly complain all the time back then.
And let me – you just brought up a name, and it just brought up a story that I remembered. Perry Saturn. Listen to this. So one time we were in the dressing room, and – like, back then, I used to use the N-word a lot, right? Mm-hmm. But usually, like, when brothers that I knew, like Ron Killings and, you know, New Jack and shit like that, or Puerto Rican guys, because they use that shit a lot. And so I said something like, man, these N-words are tripping or something like that, right? And I kept talking, and Perry Saturn decided to use the N-word. Bro, New Jack went off. He goes, I dare you to say that fucking word again. And he goes, what are you talking about? He goes, you know what I'm talking about. I double dare you, motherfucker, to say that motherfucking word again, bro. And Perry very thankfully did not, because he was about to go off, bro. He was fucking incensed. But anyways, so here we go with the okay. But Raven was furious, and it was the talk after the show. And reportedly, Raven was throwing up during much of the week due to the concussion. Jarrett told Raven he could do a 5-minute match, but he wanted a match and wanted to get Gilberti over. Raven didn't want a short match because he didn't want to be in a stinker main event. So he, on his own volition, wound up there for 15:35. One spot where Raven would kick out of the Siakalypse was pulled from the match because Raven couldn't take the move. Raven had it won when Sandman started whacking him with a cane in the back. Jarrett saved Raven. since at the end of their much-talked-about promo, Jared said he was going to make sure Raven was 100% when they finally had their rematch, so he was Raven's protector for now. The crowd, which wasn't into much all night, got into the end of the match after a sluggish start. Raven told Gilberti to avoid anything to the head, and Gilberti, whose offense comes across like a prelim guy anyway, looked worse trying to be careful and worked extra light because every blow was hurting Raven bad. The current plan for the anniversary show is Jeff versus Gilberti versus Raven in a three-way. Did that ever happen?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I can't remember that specifically.
No. Let me see. There was one more thing I wanted to bring up here. Jarrett and Raven had an in-ring worked confrontation, which was weird. The idea was not to turn either guy. Jarrett seemed to have 75% support when he was out by himself, but there was a vociferous heel cornered, and Jarrett was insulting them. It was said this was Russo's call, and Jarrett wanted to just not acknowledge the boos. Raven came out and called Jarrett the game, which started a light Triple J chant. Raven talked about politics and backstabbing and compared Jarrett to Shane and Stephanie McMahon. Jarrett made a comeback saying that nobody wanted Raven to be champion, and basically he called him a drug addict. And I remember this because I talked to Jeff about it after it, saying he was shooting up backstage at one point. Fans are booing Jarrett by the end, particularly when calling Raven a drug addict. Do you remember this?
Yeah, because Raven, because we were a 3-month process.
I remember this.
Of turning Jeff heel. Slow turn. Like, we're basically everything, you know, the pressure of being the owner is getting to him, and he's starting to heel and shit, like he's turned into a bad guy. Because we would always do spots where, like, he would, you know, the old thing where you turn around and he would hit the baby face with the chair, but he's acting like he didn't know who it was, you know, type thing. We would do, there was a lot of storytelling like that.
Right. So you were turning him heel at this point, Jared, when he said he was a drug addict?
It had been started before that. He was still, bro, there's a promo.
So he was trying to get heel heat.
There's a promo that I cut. There's like a month before that we started laying the groundwork for him being a heel. And I remember one of the promos I cut, like me and AJ have a brawl, and it starts off because we're recruiting D'Lo. We're trying to recruit D'Lo into sports entertainment. He comes in, and basically he'd been promised a title shot. Or he wanted to come in for a title shot. Like, we were trying to get him to come in Sports Entertainment Extreme, but he ended up, you know, it was a good pitch. But, like, so there was I actually said, like, in the promo, I had said before AJ come, because I just screwed AJ out of his shot the week before, right? So I'm in the ring telling D'Lo that we're going to be in his corner tonight and stuff. And then I was by myself and, like, well, you know, but one of the things I said, I said, Jeff Jarrett is not a good guy. It's not a good guy. I go, the only reason Jeff Jarrett is a good guy is because he's wrestling in his hometown and these people believe his bullshit. And like, but he was, and we were doing that because he wasn't really doing wrestling like a good guy. He was doing a lot of heel, but like he was up against the heel faction, but he was still doing heelish stuff. And so that's how we were like, you know, twisting that. And maybe that could have like, actually, I don't know if it had affected that crowd. Because I don't know if they wanted Jeff to be a heel.
No, this is what I remember, because I remember this. I remember hearing this promo, and now that I'm thinking that I told this to Jeff, Jeff must have been thinking, how high is this motherfucker if he doesn't realize that I'm being a heel? Because I thought he was a babyface, and when he came back, I go, bro, that's not smart to say, because all those motherfuckers out there are taking drugs too. So right. When you say that he's taking drugs and he's a drug addict, they're like, yeah, so are we, motherfucker.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I don't understand what that was supposed to accomplish.
Yeah.
But I remember telling him that, but I didn't know they were turning him heel. I thought he was still a babyface. Then there's another little story here, which I do remember. It says, they basically acknowledge Eric Watts was sleeping with Goldilocks, but she wanted to break up with him since he's a wrestler. He said he was an entertainer. A new girl in a nurse's outfit, Ronnie Stevens, a.k.a. Simply Luscious from ROH, beat up Kid Cash backstage. Remember this? I do remember this. He says, after Cash told her his groin was sore and he needed an oral exam of it.
Bro, we were very misogynistic on that show. Like, we would treat it like, you know, like there'd be cat fights. We'd go, yeah, let him go.
Then, but here's the other one. Then she went to check. He turned on her thinking she was a spy for Tracy. She beat him up, which made perfect sense. So he was holding his groin from a low blow and all shaking for his match when the luchador would reveal himself. And it ended up as Trinity to no reaction. Let me see. Okay, here's another one. See if this is true. It says, there was post-match finger-pointing about the lack of crowd reactions. Jarrett believes in faces and heels while Russo thinks they are passé. Jarrett wants to be a face, but much of the crowd wants him as a heel. Raven is supposed to be a heel, but feels he has to be a face because of the crowd wanting him to be, even though he doesn't want to. Carter wants Jarrett as a heel, but Jarrett has a lot of pull since he's still minority owner and largely runs the show.
100% true. That crowd too, as you got to understand. So this is the era, like coming out of the attitude era, 2001, 2002, 2003, we started seeing like the rise of the smart mark crowd. But the crowd at the Nashville Fairgrounds was a mixture of the old school, Southern wrestling fans and the smart marks. You know what I'm saying? So it was always kind of like you kind of got that vibe. And like, Vince's thing was he just always wanted to tell stories. Just whoever comes up, but Jeff just wanted, Jeff was always like this. He wanted the baby face to do the baby face things and the heel to do the heel things.
Right.
Vince was always like, what would your character do given a situation? Like if I did this to you, what would you do? And that was always the question we always asked. If Jerry Lynn, cause you were doing this was around the time, like the month before is when you had started doing your angle with Jerry Lynn because you thought he was ripping off Lucha Libre.
Right.
Right. And remember you had like the sit down with like him and Tanay, and it's just like for a shoot. If Tanay would ask a question, what would your answer be?
Right.
And remember we used to do that. And you would answer like how you would just shoot your character.
Right. That was a great promo because it was from my heart. It's what I actually felt.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what Vince would like to do because those sit downs were good because Tanay would just, it wasn't even that scripted. Remember that? He would say, I'm going to ask this, and this. And he would say,
Because I remember Tanay when he was answering me, I go, and you don't sit there looking at me. You're a corporate sellout. You started out commentating Lucha Libre and you sit there while X Division rips off our fucking name and our style and changes it. And, I was like, and I go, who's the highest paid, boxer right now? Oscar De La Hoya and some other Latino guy. And who's the high? And,
And Jerry Lynn's reaction to all this was kind of, he would kind of backtrack. He's like, hey, I've always given respect to it was kind of like a good problem because like you were hitting with facts and he really didn't have a lot to come back with. So it's like you kind of buried him, but that's how we, there was that era was the first time where we were just like, asking, he'd talk to character guys. Right. If we did this, what would you do?
Right.
What would you do? Like that's right. Because here's what Vince wanted to do. Remember Vince would just come out
and
in the middle of
those are real good, man. Real good.
But sometimes Vince is a shoot. Would just go out there in the middle of the show without telling anybody and cut a promo to see who could do this because ultimately that's what he wanted the show to be like. Right. If everybody was confident in their characters, what would you do if somebody said just completely organic stuff? And we had and it's funny too because like when he's writing this right now, right? This is 2003. Okay, this is coming off the heels of Rock and Austin. Now they're kind of now the WWE and doing but they had a very strong period of time where there was the mic work was great, So now you had a bunch of like guys that were professionals because a lot of us have been in WCW, guys have been in ECW, Ram. They're professionals, but like they weren't as good on the mic as like Rock and Austin and stuff. So Vince is trying to give like a lot of these guys like leeway on the mic to see who can that's the thing. Like everybody talks about Vince Russo shows and stuff, but back then he wasn't writing a lot. We were just writing the angles and basically go, hey, what would you say here? You did all your material. So you're doing, I didn't sit down today, that's where we were going. But Jeff ultimately, no, it can't be like that. Baby faces here. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, think of if somebody else would have been in, if Jeff would not have been there, we could have seen like another evolution of wrestling because we could have literally like done just like so much stuff on the fly. Like if somebody's cutting a promo in the ring, or something. Like if you're in the back,
Let me ask you a question. Do you think you could have gotten further and we would have been more successful if Jeff wasn't in charge?
Oh yeah, for sure. With that type of stuff. Because here's the thing too, Dutch. Jeff still, even though wrestling had been doing it for years, WWE, even WCW, Jeff still had to explain why the camera was there.
Which you don't need to explain.
Of course. But he was still adamant about that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, you know, and then Dutch, and me and Vincent, even Dutch was like, you know, we're all on board with, we don't need it because there's so much more stuff you can do, you know? And
plus it doesn't need to be explained.
I'm aware of that.
It's a fucking TV show.
I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
But, and so Jeff was just still setting his old, he said still too many old school ways he was married to, you know, that we could have like really started evolving that into kind of like an ad lib, you know, what do you call it? Open mic type show. You know, because a lot of guys were cutting good promos. New Jack was cutting good promos. Raven was cutting good promos. You were cutting good promos. BG James is cutting good promos. You know, but there's a lot of good talkers on that show. You know,
well,
Tanae was really good on the mic. You know, and stuff. So, yeah, I want to go. Okay. I want to go okay. Somewhere else.
Let me just one last thing here. And so, last thing. This is something that I wanted. This is the last thing I wanted to ask you. Most people don't even know who he is, but the only reason that I'm bringing him up is because his name is here. And when I saw his name, I just finished reading the Eric Bischoff book, Controversy mm-hmm. Creates Crash. And when this guy's right. name came up, he was like, this is one of the most uncreative guys I've ever met. So it said, lots of talk about Bill Banks coming in to help with the writing. A, did he ever come in? And B, was he ever any good?
He gets a lot of heat now.
Because like, Eric just buried him. And I remember when I was in WCW, I never saw anything in him.
Here's exactly what we would use Bill Banks for.
Eric's coming next week, by the way.
Oh, good. Because I want to talk. I'm gonna give you something. This is what I want to discuss with Eric, okay?
Yeah.
But before that,
yeah.
Banks contributed literally nothing in the booking meetings. I don't know why. Like, you know, but he was
– Who brought him in? Do you remember?
Vince did. We had him in because Bill did a lot of stuff production wise,
like go for like stuff,
post production. You know, just like he. Yeah. No. Like we'd have Jeremy and Bill Banks would be there because they would be like, you know, when we leave Nashville, they're still there in the office and they're like, okay, we need this, we need a product, we got to set up.
Bill lived in Nashville too.
Yeah. So
let me just real quick interject this. He started with WWE Conan as a website guy. And then he left WWE to join Vince at WCW. And then I guess also went to TNA. That's where he started.
He was one of those introverted, nerdy, computer nerd type guys behind the scenes, but as a good hand behind the scenes because he's eating for production. Here's what he would contribute. He never, like, we literally, it was a joke in the booking meetings. We were like, what do you think, Bill? He'd be like, oh, no. I don't know. But if it's so here's the thing. We would all, especially in WCW, if me, Terry, Ed, and Vince were talking about something and we had two guys were on one side and two guys were on the other side, we would look at Bill and say, what do you think? And if he, 95% of the time, he'd be like, I don't know. But like once out of every 20 times we do it, he'd be like, well, I think this should happen. Right. And he would like break the tie. But that's, you know, but you break the tie and like, you know, and if we were booking stuff that required vignettes or something, Bill would be taking.
So you want the most uncreative guy to break a tie. Okay, I like
But he's the guy that like what we're talking about is like he has to like when we're leaving the meeting, he needs to start going and like organizing. Hey, look, this is what we're probably going to start needing for the show this week, production wise. You know what I'm saying? That's what he would do.
No, well, the guy that's making copies of formats, that's not the guy I'm going to ask him for creative decisions. But I will tell you this, that I would love to see a conversation between him and Pee-wee on a bomber. Right. I don't care. What did he say? What did he say?
Want a bomber?
No, but what was the other guy? What would Bill Banks always say? I don't know.
I forget.
I don't know.
You just said it.
Want a bomber?
No, you'd always ask him, hey, Bill, what do you think?
Oh, I
don't know.
I don't know.
Want a bomber? I don't know.
They are.
I don't know.
I guess so. I guess so. I don't know.
I've heard Bruce and Conrad make – well, Conrad would bring this up to Bruce on their show, and Bruce would make fun of Banks for his creative resume skills. Because if you look at his resume on LinkedIn, it says that he was a member of the creative writing team for Raw and USA, SmackDown, and 3-hour pay-per-view broadcasts, produced vignettes and segments of various talent. So he says he was on the WWE creative team.
He was contributed, but everybody's accurate. He contributed nothing to the meetings.
Yeah,
but he wouldn't by his own admission he would say that never would speak up. He was just like a very soft spoken like guy that just was there, you know. So it's like.
But that's basically
super
the same.
Super nerdy, super introverted.
The same stuff he says for WCW and TNA, that he was a member of the creative team and all that.
But let me tell you what he was. You could hear him on Pro. He was a shooter on WCW Live. On WCW Live,
Yeah.
You listen to him on WCW Live. He is very outspoken. He would bury our production at WCW compared to WWE and stuff like that. He was very outspoken on that show. You know, maybe that's why Eric, you know, didn't like it. But yeah, but creatively, absolutely, he brought nothing to the table.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Joe, you smoke, right?
Well, the nicotine vapes, you see me puffing them all the time, you know?
Well, let me tell you about a new sponsor we have called Lucy. It's 100% pure nicotine. It's always tobacco-free. And this is available in pouches, gum, and we got this new thing called breakers, okay? Well, breakers are these little pouches, but there's a capsule of liquid flavor inside that helps saturate the pouch. Breakers are available in 4 milligrams or 8 milligrams. And the flavors are mint, very citrus, espresso. And if you're not a pouch guy or gal, you know, Lucy's gum is available in 2 milligrams, 4 milligrams, or 6 milligrams. You like nicotine, it's a great product for you. So set yourself up with a subscription, have Lucy deliver straight to your door. No more weekly or daily gas station stops. Joe, you use this, right?
Yeah, it's because of the thing, you know, you always see me vape on here. And I've had people say before, yeah, you know, doing that on camera. But at the same time, it's a habit, you know. So I started trying the Lucy Breaker pouches. And actually, it's helped me a lot. I think I might switch because when you vape like that, it can get really expensive. And if this is going to break me of that habit, I'm totally all about it. And it tastes really good, too.
So let's level up your nicotine routine with Lucy. So go to lucy.co/K100 and use the promo code K100 to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. That's lucy.co/K100 and use code K100 to get 20% off and always free shipping. And here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age. Every order is age verified. It's no kids. Warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical.
So get your nicotine with Lucy. Boom.
Go to prowrestling.net, please.
Yeah, remember last time?
Who did I try to use? Like, I don't even remember. Okay, Pal's Dynamite hit list. Oh, no, that's just a list. All right, Barnett's live review of Dynamite. So, Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, Excalibur join in on commentary. Welcome the TV audience to Milwaukee. They show footage of Punk's debut on Rampage and tease his first Dynamite appearance. Excalibur advertised Black versus Anderson, Chris Jericho discussing his future, Red Velvet versus Jamie Hayter, and Matt Hardy versus Orange Cassidy, which is up first. They started out Matt Hardy versus Cassidy with the, you know, the kick versus delete battle. The crowd was
I don't mean, we don't have to go, you don't have to like tell it okay. what, but basically, this was actually, and you know, Hardy works better with smaller guys, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, he can do stuff, but bro, this was, he got his, it's unbelievable every single week on this
Did
show.
Did he break his nose or something?
Yeah, he hit him with a cross body and landed on his face.
He landed right in his face.
Yeah.
Right in his face. So,
but Cassidy gets the win with a new roll up after avoiding, his
right,
Hardy
puts
submission.
His hand in his pockets.
Yep. Yeah. So
he, Cassidy super over with the fans, bro. Doesn't matter what he does. They really like him. And this was a good opener. All right. Opener.
If it wasn't for Matt getting his nose broke, this was not a bad match at all.
Yeah.
It was, it was pretty entertaining. I liked it when he was getting heat on him and Matt was being a dick, kind of like giving him the little taps with the foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like whenever he does this.
Well, we talk about Matt.
Yeah, I think he did. And actually, Matt did get a good pop, too.
Yeah.
At the beginning, when he did the thing, he said, stop, and he put his hands in his pockets, and he pulled out the money, and he threw it in the air.
Yes.
And then he got,
actually got a pop from the crowd.
He got drop kicked, and the money flew out of his hand or whatever. Like he kept, you know. But we talk about Matt and, you know, still being in the ring and difficulty moving and stuff, but whatever he's found to work around his limitations now, I really like his matches like that, like this, and I liked him and Christian. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up, Malakai Black cuts a promo. He gives Brock Anderson an out, telling him he can roll out of the ring and leave the match later, and he won't hold it against him. He warns Anderson that if he didn't do that, he would visit his anger upon the entire Nightmare family.
Bro, here's the thing. That angle of Malakai Black, whatever, has been done to death a million times, and I've never, ever seen one guy say, yeah, okay, I won't show up.
Yeah, of course.
It's always the same trait. Yeah.
So Jericho's promo is next. The crowd's all in with Judas. And Jericho says it's been a great week for AEW and everyone is celebrating but him. He said last week when he had the chance to end the labors of Jericho, he tapped out. People have asked him why he's so down on himself. He's Chris Jericho. And he replies that he's down on himself because he is Chris Jericho. Said he didn't care if he had to get hit by light tubes or get powerbombed 15 times. He will do whatever it takes to defeat MJF. He has a mantra in his head. He has to beat MJF. He would attack him in the ring, in the back, in the parking lot, or at his house. It will never end until he gets what he wants. Jericho wants to offer him a proposal and ask him to come to the ring. So Jericho offered MJF one final fight at All Out, and if he can't beat MJF, then maybe he doesn't belong in AEW anymore. Jericho said he would move to commentary. If he fails to beat MJF, he will never wrestle in AEW again. MJF comes out, calls it embarrassing. He says... Jericho's looking for a rub from the youngest and fastest rising star in pro wrestling, but his cash cow is all out of milk, and then he tapped out faster than someone listening to a Fozzy CD. MJF said while satisfying to say he tapped out Jericho, it would be even better to say that he ended Jericho and accepted the match, but he wanted Jericho to think really hard about it because he would be getting in the ring with the man who mopped the floor with him three times. MJF ends by saying he's better than him and he knows it. So Jericho in the retirement match.
All right. Did you see this, D.I.?
Yes, I did.
Okay, this is what I think about this. Really, another Jericho MJF match? The guy already beat you like
who
twice.
Would,
you already
who, three times. Who would book this?
You already elevated him.
The could guy, you imagine?
Why are you wrestling again? They've been wrestling in some iteration for like a year
All
now.
All year, at least, yeah.
Come on. I mean, why would anybody be interested in seeing this again? Yeah, live, the people pop because, you know, he's good on the mic and he has energy and I'm not going to quit and all that. But I just kept thinking over and over, Uncle, dude, I don't want to see you guys again. And I like both guys.
Well, if you look at All Out, like their WrestleMania or Starrcade or something, it's where they're going to wrap all this stuff up and start moving on to new stuff.
Bro, that shit should have been wrapped up with this fucking four matches of doom or whatever the
don't
fuck
forget
it was
they
called.
They started the feud with a War Games match. So backstage, the Varsity Blondes are interviewed. They say Bloodline doesn't define family because they are family and they're the number one ranked team in AEW. They want to go to All Out and beat the Bucks in a cage.
Ooh,
the Varsity Bloodline. Blondes they said their Bloodline doesn't define Bloodline.
Oh, okay,
doesn't good. Yeah. So Lucha Bros make their entrance with Alec Abrahantes. Jurassic Express is watching from the front row.
Bro, Abrahantes, I have to say this again. He's poor guy.
And I got to say this, too. I'm very upset at the Brian Pillman interviews.
Oh, yeah?
I want him to be more like his dad.
He'll get there, I think.
He's too much of a white meat. These are white meat baby face promos. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm not,
well, it's kind of like a white meat baby face trio.
Hank, I know. Yeah. That's why I'm not buying this.
Yeah.
Maybe they figured the more... the more they push him as a smiling good guy, the more his turn will be effective, you know?
We'll see. Hopefully they are turning him. So
Lucha Bros versus Varsity Blondes. Double super kick and assisted package pile driver on Garrison
just go to the finish.
Win. That's
go
what I'm
finish.
Doing, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We can only imagine what this match looked like.
Double super kick and assisted package pile driver on Garrison gets them the win at 8:58.
That's Lucha a very Bros. Dangerous. I don't know. I would never take that from those guys. I'm sorry. Well, that pile bro, but there's a potential that you can.
Well, yeah.
You've got your arms hooked from behind.
You can get hurt
and he's
on
dropping
just about
you
anything.
On your neck. Where you yeah. you don't have any.
As long as your guy's holding you up high, holding you up high enough. You know, you should be safe, I guess.
I mean, this reminds me of a move that Kevin Owens used to do.
It is his move.
When he's Kevin Steen.
Yeah, it is his move.
They said, you just can't do these anymore when he goes to WWE. They let him do these moves on this show, which is, you know, I don't know.
I thought very, very lame at the end when the Dynamite crew,
there was zero facial expressions on anybody's face.
Not just that. They're facing the Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus and and they're facing these guys and the Young Bucks come from behind like if they were in nursery school or some shit and they push them into each other hoping they'll fight and then run out. I was like, what did I just see?
So they get into the face off, the Bucks enter the ring and try to instigate, like you said. Pent and Luchasaurus kick the Bucks off the apron and then Jungle Boy and Phoenix teamed up to splash them on the floor. So, but it'll be Jurassic Express versus Lucha Brothers for the title shot. They play a hype video for Andrade versus Pac at All Out. Hayter.
Time out.
Yes, sir.
Why are they doing this? The tag team championship match in a cage? Like you a cage is like a build-up of a guy's feud.
I think so. The other guys can't get involved, like the Good Brothers and shit like that, like they always do.
So Jamie Hayter makes her entrance. She's going to wrestle Red Velvet. Okay.
Here's a question. Do you know who she is or where she comes from?
Jamie Hayter.
I'd never seen her before.
Not at all. No, I don't know.
Okay.
You want me to look it up real quick?
Do you know who she's dating? Nothing?
I don't know that yet either.
Yeah.
Jamie Hayter's from England.
Surprised.
She's known for her work on the independent circuit in England with Rev Pro and Pro Wrestling Eve, and she frequents Stardom. So she's an English import. What do you say about Jamie Hayter versus Red Velvet?
This match is not good.
No,
the timing, there was a lot of timing issues. Well, let me finish.
Yeah.
There was a lot of timing issues, okay? Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing. Poor this Red Velvet girl, they pushed her to, like, oh, she's Brandy's friend and we should give a fuck about her. And I think she was involved in the Shaq O'Neal thing. But, and then she goes against Britt Baker. Somehow, some way, I don't know why, Britt Baker was a babyface in her hometown, treated like a babyface. Velvet got, you know, beat. And now she goes against this girl we've never seen in our fucking life, okay, who just dominates her and beats her. I don't know if this chick has heat, but it's not looking good for her.
One thing, she should never do this moonsault. The standing moonsault has never landed. That's right, she landed on her own face.
On AAW botches, they've shown, bro, Red Velvet on that standing moonsault, I don't think, you don't watch this account, Conan, but the guy just has all these, like, AEW has, like, botch after botch after botch every week. Like, there's
like we've said, they get a lot of guys from the indies that aren't trained properly.
But the funniest thing is Red Velvet, literally a half a dozen to a dozen times anybody turns out, has missed this standing moonsault. Yeah. Like, I don't think she's done it correctly one time.
No, and last night
was
worse.
And she continues to do it. Last night was even worse than all the other ones. She completely missed her and had to sell it.
Yeah, and hit her
face.
Now,
the Jamie Hayter girl, the Red Velvet, she's small. She hits the ropes weird. She's constantly running into the ropes like hitting, but she doesn't hit the ropes hard enough to, like...
Yeah, one time she almost went through the ropes. Did you see that?
She's very, like... She's getting way ahead of her skis, trying to do too much stuff out there. Now, the Hayter girl's offense was not bad.
No. Yeah.
Like, she looked very physical and stuff. This match was a cluster because of the timing, like the missed spots. Like, if they didn't have any missed spots, this Jamie Hayter might have looked good in this match, but... She didn't need 6 minutes and 38 seconds to beat this girl.
Right. She and she had no heat because nobody knew who she was.
Yeah,
nobody had
reacting.
No heat because they're seeing this girl get dominated who's being pushed.
Yeah.
And the women's division continues to be a
mess.
You know, underproduced. Doesn't really – it seems it's Britt Baker and that's it. And maybe a little bit Chris Statlander. And that's about it.
So then one more thing here with this. After the match, they – keep beating down Velvet. Why? I don't know.
Yeah,
it's like this girl's like not a threat at all. And she's botching spots. She's like, they beat her. They're going to beat her. But Chris Stamp did. So they had to do this so Statlander could make the save. Who came out there with a, you know, bro, none of these girls know. I mean,
and not to mention
these indie wrestlers. Well, let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
They're so green that they just don't know how to get excited out there and work the crowd. Like, this would have been a good spot to come in and show some fire. She comes into stand. These girls come in, like all these spots, wrestlers come in and they literally just kind of stand there.
It's a good point.
They're not animated. They're just standing there. You know, I'm like, I don't know.
I didn't notice that when you said it, but now that you say it, you are right.
Yeah.
Not
you
got
to come in with fire, bro.
They're not working. Nobody's works the crowd. Nobody. You know,
not to mention real quick that Baker goes from her big moment to like, you know, being a runaway cowardly heel all over again. So like we've talked about how they flop her back and forth. It gets a little confusing as to who she is and what the deal is.
All right. So the next segment was my favorite segment on the show. So go ahead.
Are you sure it was? So the Evil Uno. Absolutely. Evil Uno backstage speaks about how the Dark Order's on the same page. Alex Reynolds speaks up and blames Uno and Grayson for what happened to Hangman Page. Uno blew up and told him to take a step back into Silver's back pocket where he belongs. Reynolds told him just because he has an Uno in his name doesn't make him a leader. So heat in the Dark Order.
I hope they're not just teasing dissension. They're actually going to blow this crew up.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, because here's the thing. You know, as a group, these guys, it looks like a group of amateur marks. Like a collectively as a group, you're letting Evil Uno do all the talking here, and he sounds like a computer nerd. You know, I mean, it's just I'm hysterical watching these things because it just looks so indie. You know, it's like I don't know how anybody could look at these segments and then think that this looks like a professional looking group. You know, with the way Evil Uno's dressed, the other guy with the mask, and hat, I don't know.
It looks like they're going to implode, but unfortunately, where the logic would lead this is if Bray Wyatt comes in and takes Brody Lee's spot, and now he's the Dark Order leader, and he takes it from Uno, you know, so the Dark Order would continue, but with Bray at the helm, maybe.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
The newest K100 partner is a company we're all big fans of, and I'm sure our audience is as well, and that's Roots of Fight. So K100 has partnered up with Roots of Fight to get our listeners 10% off an order of any size for a limited time only.
So if you've had your eye on any of their products, don't hesitate. Go to rootsoffight.com and use our code K100 for 10% off. That's rootsoffight.com. Now, I know, Conan, that you've worked on this idea for a while, although it's definitely my idea, so I want full credit, but still, without me, we wouldn't have had this offer for our listeners. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. Here's the deal. Roots of Fight, we were wearing this before they even came here to sponsor the show. Is that from Roots of Fight, the one you're wearing now, Roddy?
Yeah, Roddy Piper. There's a lot of Piper retro stuff. Punk, CM Punk has worn this. Like, really? Punk's Twitter, he has this. And also, there's CM Punk merch on there for all you punk fans. But they've probably got tons of stuff.
So I got stuff. I got, because I'm a big Bruce Lee fan, so I got a lot of stuff from Bruce Lee. I got some Muhammad Ali. I got Rey Mysterio. I got Bret Hart. I got Andre the Giant. So I got a lot of stuff. It's very, very comfortable. It's excellent. Plus, they have, like, shorts and long pants. I got these Rey Mysterio green shorts that I wear all the time. They're super comfortable, cool. So check it out. You know, they got everything on there.
What do you got, Joe?
Yeah, I grabbed a couple of Bret Hart shirts, the t-shirt. Like when I said, the material's really comfortable. So I got like a muscle shirt too. So you'll never see that, because why would I wear a muscle shirt on camera? And I also got this really comfortable hoodie. It's an Elvis Presley hoodie, right? But since it's Roots of Fight and it's kind of sports related and based, it's actually like an Elvis karate hoodie where it shows him doing karate. You know, Elvis was wearing the karate stuff. It's so comfortable. I'm kind of bummed that it's getting warmer. So like, it's almost like I can't wait to wear it next year. Yeah.
Yeah, so check out rootsoffight.com and take advantage of 10% off the code K100. They got stores for Muhammad Ali, Bret Hart, Rey Mysterio, Roberto Duran, Elvis, Roddy Piper. This offer is a limited time only, so jump on it, get some new clothes to support the show by going to rootsoffight.com and use the code K100 for 10% off orders of any size. Boom.
Boom. You're stealing my line. I say that. Boom.
So Punk comes out next for his Dynamite debut. Tony Schiavone interviews him. He asks him, what was the one thing that brought him back to AEW? Punk said told Tony he couldn't hear him and calm the crowd down so Tony could ask again. And Punk said he's there for the younger talent, Penta, Phoenix, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus. He then calls out Darby Allin and said he's reckless to a point where he's destructive, and he wanted to ask himself if he still has what it takes. He then chose to retire the Voice of the Voiceless moniker because the fans have a voice in AEW and people listen. Punk questioned whether he could still go, but if he could, he wants to do it with Darby Allin. He called Darby someone who would be his favorite wrestler when he was 15, and he doesn't fit everyone's image of a pro wrestler. He wants to prove he can still go and that he can still be the best in the world. The crowd started chanting yes, and Punk said that was someone else's shtick, and they'd have to be a little more patient. He called out September 5th and said, I love you, to his wife April at home. Then his music hit, and he went around the ringside area and slapped everyone's hands. And that's it. That's his Dynamite debut.
So I thought that, I said this last week, I think. I said, I bet you Punk wants to work with, what's this guy's name? Darby, because he reminds him of him being mercurial. And that's exactly what he said in the promo. He reminds him of him. But I understand why they're putting him with Darby, but I'm not that. And I know it's going to be a good match, but I still wouldn't have started him off with Darby. But, you know, that's just me.
Yeah.
What do you think of this, D.I.? And that reference to Bryan Danielson was absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just trending to where I'm going to be right again, as usual.
Right.
Bro, they brought Punk in, first two shows, and this was one of the worst shows they've had. Like, if you look at the matchmaking on a show where you've got an audience,
mm-hmm, right,
that's going to be increased.
Especially at the end, especially after this, some of the matches, right, you're like, what are you doing? Punk is, I'm on like, TV. This is when you put your best shit on.
The next match we got, you know, for what reason, I don't know why he's in this. So Moxley, Darby, and Eddie Kingston are wrestling the Wingmen. JD, Drake, Ryback, you know, Darby's in an angle with Punk.
Okay, here's the other thing. Right. Here's the other thing. Yeah. How many minutes was that match, Joe?
7:23.
So it takes you 7 minutes to beat these guys?
And even JR on commentary was kind of like alluding to the fact this was going to be a...
Tell JR
why
aren't you
running through them?
Yeah. JR was saying this is going to be a beatdown.
So then
what was JR saying?
He was saying this is probably going to be a beatdown, and he called it like a mismatch, basically, right, you know?
Well, he should.
Yeah.
So then afterwards... Daniel Garcia runs in and just cheap shots Darby Allin
is he feuding Darby and Garcia? I mean, is he feuding with Punk and Garcia?
I don't. Right. Nobody's calling him. I mean, bro, this was like just completely like this show just went off the rails. Like I'm thinking like, hey, AEW's like, you know, we got Punk here and stuff like. And you're just match after match of their green guys, and nobody's in. So, you know, they.
Right. There's a million other guys you can put Garcia in with. Why is he fighting with Darby? Why can't you wait till he's done with Punk? I didn't understand that either. And the other thing I would like to say, looks like fucking, because I always say that he looks scrawny and he doesn't look physical. It looks like, what's this guy's name? Moxley's picking up some mass and he's looking bigger, better.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, maybe they'll use Garcia to cause Darby to lose to Punk. Maybe that's what they're leaning towards. They're going to have to do something for that.
That would be brutal.
Have to do something for that finish. The announced team speaks about the Women's Casino Battle Royal. Tay Conti was interviewed backstage.
Bro, there's no shame in losing to CM Punk. Why do they need to be protected?
Yeah, in Chicago, too. Right. Tay Conti's interviewed. The Bunny walks up and gives her a contract, asking her to consider working with the HFO. Conti tears it up, and they brawl and scream at each other. Oh, anything there?
But see,
that was another. There's another green spot here. The Bunny gets in her face. That was kind of weird. They weren't like looking at each other. They were kind of like looking away, and like it was kind of so. But bro, Tay Conti, it's like, okay, you're gonna brawl with this girl. You're forearming her in the chest.
Right.
You're going. Whatever.
And the thing is, this thing with the Bunny is almost like the Andrade segment. It's so quick and insignificant, and it's just like to remind people, and it has no doesn't resonate. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Let me go to the rest of it here. So Dak Hardwood cuts a promo. He got messed up pretty bad. Did you hear about this?
He looked really bad.
Yeah.
He tweeted today and showed pictures of him and said he's having nerve damage in his arm.
Oh.
You know, which is no bueno, you know? That kind of sucks. But for a completely freak accident, you know?
Yeah.
But you can tell they're going to get a little mouthy backstage now. And stuff with all these people, they've been in two matches all year.
Who
these guys? FTR? The FTR.
Really?
They've only been like, I think they've been in like two matches. Since, when was the last time they wrestled?
LA,
like how many matches
the day
have
he
they
got
had?
Hurt.
Yeah, Santana and Ortiz. The day he got
hardly
hurt.
Ever.
All right. Yeah. I don't know why.
So the next Kenny. So Omega and Cal has come out with Brandon Cutler and the other guy.
Makazaki.
Nokazawa.
Yeah.
It completely. Absolutely diminishes that act. Okay, they're trying to get if they think that's going to get heat by bringing those schmucks out there with them. I don't know why. It just should be Don and Kenny.
Yeah, and Don was
if
great.
He wants
Don
if he wants to be Heenan and you know Nick Bockwinkel. Wasn't Heenan Nick Bockwinkel Kim Chi and Harvey Whippleman? You know, it was just Heenan and Bockwinkel. They come these guys come. I don't know. This just makes them look really jabroni. This was a core. I don't know. This didn't. Cage comes out.
This is
out.
Not their best work.
No, Cage Christian comes out, and it's like, dude, you're coming out 1-on-4 by yourself. You're going to get attacked. It's like I can't stand stuff like this. That like the wrestlers are taking like an obvious position where they're putting themselves in peril, and everybody knows this except for them. It's like you know you don't
or that
come
they
out
don't do nothing about it. Why
right.
The minute he got in the ring, why didn't they kick his ass?
Right, kick ass. So they have words, and it wasn't much. It was kind of confusing. They were making him. Like he's mad that Callis fired him when he was 20 years old.
Right, and they put some video that was very quick and meant nothing. Larry Candelo, like,
is this getting you to what? Did this make you want? And if so they beat Kenny, they beat Christian down, and Frankie Kazarian makes a save.
Right.
So, did this make you want to watch that match more?
No,
not at all. Okay, now here's another weird thing. So Moxley cuts a promo backstage. This is a long promo, by the way, for what it was saying. He said he got a FedEx from Tokyo today with only one contract in. He said it wasn't who he thought it was. Whose phone is that?
Let me
turn that off, please.
Got it.
Because the name read Satoshi Kojima. Moxley, I guess he is old. Is this guy old? Satoshi Kojima?
He's been around since the 90s.
He called him an old man and said he wanted to go out in a blaze of glory, then said he had no respect for anyone when he gets in the ring. On September 5th, there's a public execution of the legend Satoshi Kojima. You know what would have been nice here? A nice little graphic or video thing of Satoshi Kojima, so I had an inside clue of who this guy was talking about, which I had no clue whatsoever, because I have no clue who Satoshi Kojima is. Next, we have another match that's a main event in any arena in the country. Billy Gunn, Austin Gunn, and Colton Gunn against QT Marshall, Nick Camarado, and Aaron Solo. Now, QT Marshall has a match coming up against Paul White.
Yeah.
Right? So what was the finish of this match?
The Gunn Club wins. They pin QT.
QT Marshall, the build-up for his big match against Paul White, gets rolled up by one of the Gunn brothers, and they lose.
That's not great.
Right? So now, thank God, I want to play. They play this on Vince's show. Pull this interview up and play it, Joe. Sure.
But I think the main thing is, why is this match on the show anyways?
On a show, you have CM Punk, and you're drawing a big audience. Brother, they drew. I got the numbers here, okay?
What'd they draw?
Not as much as I thought they were.
What
not
was
even
it?
Close. Let me pull it up here. I got wrestlingdata.com has all the stats here. Okay, so let me give you perspective, right? So SmackDown was up 150,000 viewers from the week before, okay?
What was their final rating?
2.237 million. The week before was 2.084 million, right? So it was 2.3 going into the pay-per-view. So it's good audience, right?
Right.
Raw, 2,067,000. 2 wow. million, and that's an increase of 180,000 people. No, 210,000 people from the week before. So coming out of the pay-per-view, the Brock comeback, they drew 200,000 more people than they usually do because their audience is 1.8 every week, right? So Raw got a spike. Right. And then the show was like, you know, it was typical Raw, but they still had the Randy Orton, some decent stuff, you know, some stuff that the people like on there, right? So AEW, okay, so they drew that big audience on Friday, which was like a 56% increase from the week before. But Conan, you left Friday night show. It's like, bro, they just came out with their rankings. Like AEW, and they have their top five, and it's like Darby, Jungle Boy, you know, stuff or anything. Bro, they've done two straight shows. CM Punk was on, and they've had like unranked wrestlers in the main event of each show.
Yeah,
right. Like Danny Garcia and it was on one, and Brock Anderson. You know, it's like the best, but let's keep going. So AEW, just put things in perspective, okay? Fighter Fest on July 21st. I think this might have been the the first week back with fans. I think it was July 14th, 1,225,000. The next week, Fighter Fest night two, 1.148 million. Okay, then the next week, then they started going down three weeks in a row, 1.18 million, 1.102 million, and 97. Actually, they got down 4 weeks in a row, 979,000, and then 975,000. Bro, so they had the spike from the crowd's coming back, and for four straight weeks, the ratings have actually gone down. Okay.
So okay. What was the ratings so, for last for
what would
for
you yesterday? Think it was? So the highest one they've done recently was 1.148 million people. Okay, mm-hmm. And that was a 6 week 5 weeks of the 14th, so six weeks ago. What would you take a guess at this one?
The one on Wednesday, yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
900,000.
Oh, be more than this is Punk.
Hmm. All right. Well, that wasn't a good show.
Last week was 975,000.
Right.
1.3.
You're talking.
No, 1.172, barely above July 21st. Okay. And it was not a good show. No. All right. Let's continue.
And here's the other thing. Okay. Go ahead. You're continue. Going to the main event?
No. We got the promo.
Hang on,
the best part of the show. It's the best part of the show.
Which promo?
You'll see it.
Yeah. Oh, the one with Dan Lambert.
Yes.
Telling the truth about this.
Ago here on AEW Dynamite, we saw an unlikely alliance develop. Let's hear from American top team Dan Lambert.
So I'm flying home from the Houston show thinking I'm just not getting through to you people with the tough love approach of telling the truth about this dumpster fire of a professional wrestling company. And something occurs to me. What is rule number one in running a business? Know your customers and give them what they want. Here I was, blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along. You actually want to see some 12-year-old looking dorky gymnast that I would stuff into a locker back in high school get on his knee and propose to his girlfriend instead of getting into a fist fight. You want to see the bastard child of Marilyn Manson and Tony Hawk skateboard into the arena while reading a comic book. You want to see some lazy douche in tight jeans and sunglasses wrestle with his hands in his pockets so he can feel cocky in the ring. What you don't want to see is real men because you are not real men. You don't want to see tough guys because you're not tough. Soft and weak wants to see soft and weak. You want to drink your $8 soy lattes, watch videos on TikTok, and go to wrestling shows in safe spaces where it's perfectly acceptable to break down and cry like a baby because your favorite wrestler shows up to work? You don't have to own the toughest team in the world to realize your generation needs some help. And the only way I'm going to help you is by providing role models for you to look up to. Real men who will stand up to the woke masses and show you the way.
Real men like former mixed martial arts fighter turned professional wrestler Scorpio Sky. Real men like lifelong martial artist and double black belt in both taekwondo and karate, Ethan Page. Men of the year who will stand up for you, fight for you, and set an example for you and your children. God forbid you have any. But who knows? There may still be some hope for you yet.
A very unlikely alliance, yeah. But coming up next week on Dynamite.
You know, it's funny to me that two of the best promos in the business are two guys that aren't really from the business, Lambert and McAfee.
Yeah.
And I, some of the best conversations are always with Lambert. He's a fucking awesome and great and funny. But that was great.
So next we have our yeah, I can't believe they let him cut these promos too. It's kind of
he's real good friends with Tony, bro. They go way back.
Oh, do they really?
Yes.
It reminds me of you know, you just take him out and drop Cornette in that spot, and it's the kind of stuff Cornette would be doing. You know, that's what he's saying.
So next
like.
Is Brock Allen, Brock Anderson against Malachi Back. Malachi, bro, this Malachi Back, I'm sorry. I would not. I can't believe these guys do not put their hands up to protect themselves when he does his kick.
That's yeah.
That's crazy. So he was doing, he's doing these strikes in the corner, and I think he tattooed this kid because he busted Brock Anderson open.
Yeah, it's far.
You know, which actually would have been better if he would have just realized he did it and then gotten on the wound and started working on it. You know what I'm saying? Where he did bust him open. But this was just a squash. And then afterwards, he does the thing with Arn. And then all of a sudden, bro, I can't believe they go off the show with this. Lee Johnson, okay, is going to hit the ring. And Malachi Black is going to beg off to this guy?
He powders, yeah. So my whole thing was, all right, after the CM Punk, after the CM Punk, which is when you really should have loaded up your show really good with matches and angles and promos and all that, you know, you got the Red Velvet shit, which was brutal. You got the Wingmen, who nobody gives a fuck about. The Austin team. Nobody cares about.
It's the Nightmare Family.
Right. Brock Anderson. Nobody gives a fuck about him.
Right.
And then some guy that nobody even fucking knows or cares about comes in, and this guy who put out Cody and put this guy out and put out Arn powdered from him. From him.
Very strange.
This guy was 0-28.
That's how you started the show? That's how you ended the fucking show? Bro, the last half was brutal.
Terrible. And it's like, I'm telling you.
How's that for an AW show?
Your worst fear that I've warned everybody of is that they were just like, they're not putting their best stuff with Punk on. They're just long term. They're sticking him in ears. I said, bro, you got an audience right now that was ready to watch Punk. You could grab these guys. I'm telling you right now, next week, the number is going to go back down.
Mm.
They're going to get a 1 week spike out of Punk. And next week, I guarantee, because this show is, people are not going to sit through shows like this. Like, you're not going to get a casual audience to come to watch Punk, and they're going to sit through this. If they came to watch Punk, they probably might want to see some of the other guys' stars that they knew. You
so
know what I'm saying?
Would you put them in against?
I say, bro, I talked with Vince. We talked about this. You should do the best thing that they could
have done. But I don't think we talked about it on the show. I said Omega for the belt. That's who
I say MJF for starters.
I would have liked to have seen Punk and
Moxley. Or Omega, one or the other.
Right.
You know, there's no reason to do a slow build, and you know, I don't know. This show is not good. I'd like to see if the AEW fans are critical of this show, because this is the show. If I ask you what happened on the show, what did you say?
Nothing.
Right?
Nothing.
Especially the second half. That was
right,
bro. You should have loaded that up with great matches, star power, and you got Punk. You know, it's like he's your lead in. He started the second hour. And the second hour is worse than the first.
Right. I thought business is going to – Punk's coming up. Business is about to pick up. Mm. It's like business ended as soon as his promo did.
I wasn't that interested. I popped more over the Brian Daniels reference, and I did him fighting Darby, which I know will be a good match, but he should be down the line, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, we forgot to do this. We forgot to do the dark –
Oh man!
You want to hear the dark results, Conan?
Go ahead.
All right. So the dark results.
Very popular segment on Patreon.
First match was Heather Reckless against Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa wins by submission.
Mm-hmm.
Heather Reckless. Next match was Ren Jones and Braden Lee versus Varsity Blondes. Ren Jones.
Yeah, you can repeat it. I still don't know who it is.
Yeah.
Next match is Captain Sean Dean versus Powerhouse Hobbs. Exactly. Next match is Dante Martin versus Allen Five Angels. Next is
It's a dark order.
Okay, listen. Yeah. This next is Nick Comoroto and Aaron Sola versus Penta and Rey Fénix.
Right.
And the next is Cal Hero, who's David Hero's son. Do you know David Hero?
No.
He's a promoter.
Promoter.
Yeah. Cal Hero and Isaiah Moore against John Silver and Preston 10 Vance. Then you had Matt Hardy and Helico and Jack Evans against Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor, and Wheeler Utah. Wheeler Utah.
So is that supposed to be like their Saturday night main event show, like WCW?
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you tell me. I don't know. I don't know exactly what they're doing here. You tell me.
Yeah, it's mostly jobbers against, you know, established guys in the promotion.
It's all to pad records.
Right. This is very underwhelming, in my opinion.
Did they put Comoroto over on Penn and Fénix?
Oh, did they really?
No, I was asking.
Why would they?
I'm sure they didn't.
The guy's mega green.
But that was the dark results.
All right. That was very scintillating and riveting. Yeah.
Totally.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.